dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business. SwissAmerica.com brings you the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is your host, Frank Gaffney, speaking to you from Command Central in the War of Ideas, the Center for Security Policy. Delighted to present to you several of our top collaborators in the War of Ideas. These are folks who are waging it on your behalf, and I'm thrilled that they're on our side. Jim Carafano from the Heritage Foundation will be talking about some breaking news, the latest indication that Al-Qaeda is hard at it here in the United States. Najibullah Zazi has confessed to collaborating with Al-Qaeda in his efforts to destroy parts of New York City. We'll get all the latest from Jim on that and on the Red Team, which I'll be talking to you about shortly. Second, we will have Claudio Rosette from the Foundation for Defense of Democracy, one of our favorite investigative reporters and particular expert on the United Nations. Claudio will be pulling back the mask on the idea that we have got real sanctions in the United Nations that will in any way affect Iranian nuclear ambitions. Also, an interesting thought, let Turkey pay for the Palestinians' relief, something it is professing such great interest in these days, rather than have us do it. And then finally, Gordon Chang will be talking with us about his beat, Asia, a new warning from Communist China that American carriers better not go into the Yellow Sea. What does that mean? And will it create a new keep-out zone in the Western Pacific with enormous implications for our security and that of our allies in the region? Also, we'll be getting the latest on the G20 summit, what went down there, and the tensions evident between the United States and Communist China. All of that is coming up straight ahead, but first, I want to talk to you about the Red Team. What does that mean? A Red Team is typically a group of people brought into usually a military kind of exercise, a game, perhaps a war game, to play the bad guys, play the other side. Well, it turns out at the moment there's a red team apparently operating in Central Command, U.S. Central Command, which General David Petraeus has been leading for some time now, will be for the time being at least double-hatted as he takes up his responsibilities in Afghanistan. But what's really alarming is this red team, apparently in a report that was prepared for Central Command, has advocated positions that, at least if Mark Perry of Foreign Policy magazine is to be credited, reflect the views of Central Command itself. And troubling doesn't begin to describe those views. What Mark Perry has revealed as a result of apparently getting a leak of this Red Team report is that we are now having Central Command's senior officers and intelligence personnel encouraging the United States government to abandon its historic position that Hamas and Hezbollah, two designated terrorist organizations, should be isolated, should be, if anything, suppressed, in favor of a new policy approach, according to the Red Team folks, namely mainstreaming these two in their respective societies. In the case of Hamas, within the Palestinian community, it's a practical matter. It's pretty clear what that means is having Hamas take over not only Gaza, but also the West Bank. In other words, become the dominant force in the Palestinian areas. And similarly for Hezbollah, encouraging, according to this Red Team analysis, Hezbollah to join forces with the Lebanese armed forces, which is a shortcut to Hezbollah being the dominant force in Lebanon. They're already pretty influential there, but this would formalize their takeover of the entire country. Now, the theory that the Red Teamers seem to have is, in the case of Hezbollah, this will cause that particular terrorist organization to part company from our Iranian adversaries, thereby strengthening our position, that it will somehow moderate the terrorists of Hezbollah. Does that sound familiar? This is kind of what John Brennan, the Homeland Security Advisor, was talking about recently, wasn't it? The moderate jihadists that he seems to think we should be empowering in Hamas, in this case in Hezbollah. And similarly, with respect to Hamas, it would appear that this search for moderates, or perhaps even a willingness to accept that nobody is moderate in these groups, but we nonetheless need to now embrace or at least engage these terrorist organizations, which, by the way, folks, are not only a menace to our friends in Israel, where they have in the past rained rockets and undertaken terrorist attacks of other kinds against the civilian population of Israel. But they're here in our own country. We have Hamas front organizations like the Council on American-Islamic Relations that are putatively not involved in violence, except that four of their senior officials have, of course, been convicted of terrorist-related activities. And then there's Hezbollah cells that we have tumbled upon in recent years, operating money laundering operations and other things, but that are understood, I think, by most thoughtful people in the intelligence business as perfectly capable of mounting attacks in this country should they be directed to do so. All of this is to say, where's the blue team? Yes, the blue team is the team that is supposed to represent the good guys in these war games, the red team, the bad. It's not clear if Central Command has in fact succumbed to this kind of foolishness, that there are any blue team guys in positions of influence. And I say with the greatest of respect to General Petraeus, I hope that he is, in fact, playing for the blue team, that he understands the folly of this kind of course of action being recommended by the red team, and that we are all going to continue to consider terrorist organizations as terrorist organizations, not as friends or reliable partners for peace. Those are my thoughts. How about yours? SecureFreedomRadio.com is one way to let me know. The Frank Gaffney Twitter or Facebook accounts. Next up, Jim Carafano of the Heritage Foundation, one of their duty experts, will be sharing with us his insights into the breaking news that Al-Qaeda was running Najibullah Zazi. What does that mean for us? Straight ahead.
Do you want the big picture on national security and foreign policy? Find out what Ronald Reagan meant by peace through strength at SecureFreedomRadio.org. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Gold, 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 everywhere you turn, radio, TV, all the headlines. For over a decade, I've done my best to explain why gold is the best asset for you to own. Prices may double or triple again. Gold rises every time public confidence in government and the paper dollar falls. Well, here we are. Unless the government stops burying us in debt, gold prices could continue to rise higher and higher. So do yourself a favor. I use Swiss America, and I suggest you call them too. You need professional advice. You need to trust the folks you buy your gold from, and you can trust Swiss America. I do.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Ask for my Rare Opportunity DVD, Gold IRA Kit, all free.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Swiss America knows gold.
Pick you up after school.
Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted, and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always had to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Sanger.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. Uh-huh! I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit cards.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Jim Carafano, one of the top hands at the splendid Heritage Foundation here in Washington, D.C. Jim is one of the duty experts there on national security broadly defined. You've seen him a lot on television, including today, talking about the story that we wanted to visit with him about, namely that the so-called subway plotter, Najibullah Zazi, evidently was either under direction or at least collaborating with Al-Qaeda operatives in plotting an attack on New York City. What do we know about Najibullah Zazi's ties to Al-Qaeda, Jim, and what difference does it make that he wasn't some lone wolf, as the administration says, but actually tied into Al-Qaeda Central?
Well, if the reports of what the intelligence community has uncovered are accurate,
It's alleged that he met with a very, very senior al-Qaeda operative, a person, a known terrorist that the United States has been hunting for years. And this is, in my mind, this could be the story of the decade. This is huge. One is, if this is true, I mean, this is 9/11 all over again. Mm. This is al-Qaeda directing people, sending them here to kill Americans in mass number. You know, it didn't work, but we're right back from where we started from. I mean, this is ridiculous that here you have a known terrorist using a known tactic launched by a known network, and the U.S. intelligence and the Pakistani intelligence didn't know anything about it. I think this is a stunning intelligence failure. The second thing which is really interesting about this meeting didn't happen in some cave in Waziristan, which is the wilds of Pakistan, where we kind of think of the al-Qaeda and the Taliban are holding out. This happened in a Pakistani city, which means al-Qaeda people are working across the country, and they're moving with freedom and right under the nose of Pakistani intelligence. Just, it shows you the scope of the problem. And the third thing is he met with al-Qaeda representatives and he met with representatives of the Pakistani Taliban. So it, again, this is clear proof that the Taliban and al-Qaeda are together at the hip, and that, you know, people that say that this war in Afghanistan, it's not about 9/11, that's just a lie. Okay, the Taliban in Afghanistan are linked to the Taliban in Pakistan, are linked to al-Qaeda in Pakistan, and this is one fight. And if we don't beat these guys, we're going to be right back to another 9/11, and we're lucky, by the grace of God, it didn't happen in Times Square.
Yeah. Well, Times Square and under the city's subway systems and so on. You've said an awful lot of important things here, Jim, and let's try to go through them quickly in detail. 9/11 all over again, by this you mean that the appetite for those who I describe as adherent to Sharia, in this case,
right,
al-Qaeda, but as you say, in coordination with others, are unmistakably still seeking victory, military, terrorist-delivered victory over this country.
Right. That's exactly right. If we walk away from this war, and of course the president didn't want to call it a war, if we walk away from this war, they're going to kill us. They're going to kill us until we stop them. This would be like we got to the beaches of Normandy and President Roosevelt said, let's just go home.
Yeah.
You know, what would have happened? Would Adolf Hitler have learned his lesson? You know, no, I don't think so. So, and the important thing is, this is 9/11. This was a plot. It's launched in the same part of the world. It's organized by the same people. It's the same thing. Come to American soil and kill many Americans in the place they feel safe. And the only difference between this and 9/11 is the bomb didn't go off. And when you have a known network and a known group using a known tactic, and all the stuff we built since 9/11 to find that the people that we – this isn't a surprise. I mean, this isn't – you know, the oil spill we never thought could happen. This is exactly kind of the attack we're supposed to be looking for, and our government failed to find it. That's inexcusable.
Yeah. Well, in the case of Zazi, I guess we actually did intercept him. The Times Square bomber, the bomb just didn't go off, but Zazi was actually uncovered, I think, in his operations, if I'm not mistaken. So
after the fact, right? I mean, which is...
Well, the plot was fairly far advanced, yeah.
Right,
and we're fortunate that it didn't get fully executed. Let's go to something else you touched on earlier, Jim, and that is, we're talking with James Carafano of the Heritage Foundation's repository of expertise on national security matters. And Jim, the role of Pakistani intelligence, as you say, these guys were operating apparently inside Pakistan itself. There's a lot of concern that the Pakistani government, and particularly the so-called ISI, the intelligence services, are playing a double game. Would you say this suggests that is extending even to continuing activities of al-Qaeda to try to attack us?
Well, you know, I think it's both. There's plenty of clear evidence that this is, I think, directly attributable to the timeline that the president put in place. Said, look, we're gonna let Americans die for a year, and then I'm bringing them all home, right?
Yeah.
That has sent a very clear message to Pakistan that, you know, that they're going to be left in the neighborhood after we leave. They want to cut a deal with the Pakistan Taliban or with the Afghan Taliban because they're going to live in that neighborhood afterwards. So yes, they're playing a double game. There's no question of that. But the other thing is I don't really think that the that Pakistan would have knowingly allowed a plot to direct that was going to directly hit the United States if they could help it, which is just as scary that there are parts of these guys running around that the Pakistani intelligence don't have a handle on. Mm-hmm. So they can find the American with a broadsword who wants to, you know, kill bin Laden, but they can't find guys who are plotting another 9/11 attack on the United States.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Well, Jim, it's a open question, I guess, whether there are parts of the ISI that would, in fact, in furtherance of Sharia, be
well. You know, the truth is,
look the other way, or whether you know they're really incompetent.
Well, no. The truth is, I think you're right. I mean, I think there are. I mean, you know, I think you could divide the Pakistani military up into a third, a third, a third. I mean, you know, a third of the Pakistani military, the old guys, you know, control the government, second all that, and then a third are kind of, you know, just sitting on the fence, and then a third of these guys have been radicalized, and they kind of think all this stuff's really neat and cool. I mean, so we've seen evidence of Pakistani military, you know, whacking Pakistani military. So even with this is not the Pakistani military we all, you know, knew and loved 20 or 30 years ago, where things got out of control. They just, you know, have
stepped
a coup
in
and, you know, put a new guy in charge. We can't trust all these guys.
Yeah. Well, and this is the rub, is that it's been some time now that it probably hasn't been trustworthy, and we're putting billions of dollars into their hands and praying, I guess, that the third that is not so hostile will somehow win out over the ones that aren't. Jim, very quickly, I gather you haven't seen the article, but you know you're familiar with the problem. I've spoken in my monologue a short while ago about a red team attached to a central command that has now apparently recommended that America embrace Hamas and Hezbollah. This would seem to represent much the same kind of blindness towards the true character of our enemies and inability, therefore, to deal with them effectively that you've spoken of. Is this unique to CENTCOM, or is it a much bigger
problem? No, I mean, we're hearing this State Department, all people say, you know, it's time to kind of sit down and deal with Hamas and Hezbollah, and, you know, and bring them into the fold. This is reflective of a deeper relay of this administration, who thinks that they're just managing the decline of American power, and we can no longer go forth in the world and be a force of good, and we just kind of have to accept the world as it is and hope that the evil people won't just come and kill us. You know, this was the Clinton strategy that got us to 9/11. This notion that when you deal with evil people, if you give them what they want, you know, maybe you'll be the last thing on the menu.
That is wrong.
That is
wrong.
What's going on?
Jim, thank you. We've got to go.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your help and for the great work you're doing at the Heritage Foundation. Jim Carafano, a great resource to us here at Secure Freedom Radio, and I hope to you as well. Next up, we have Claudia Rosette, operating deep behind enemy lines, covering the United Nations. What are they up to next, and what does it mean for you? Straight ahead.
Download podcasts, hear clips, read the bios of the amazing people Frank Gaffney interviews, all at securefreedomradio.org. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
The following commercial is sponsored by FeedThePig.org, an organization devoted to helping you save money. We will not entice you with messages like
lowest prices in town, dealer approved, certified pre-owned,
no obligation consultation,
nor will we brag about our
huge selection, enormous variety,
one-stop shopping,
everything under one roof,
or promise
prices reduced up to 75%.
A sale like this can't go on forever. Factory liquidation.
Financing options available.
We will offer no contingencies like
see store for details.
Prices and participation may vary.
Legal exclusions apply.
No purchase necessary.
We'll try to convince you that our product will give you
leaner, tighter abs in minutes.
Perfect smile. Porcelain veneers.
Freedom from those painful, embarrassing bunions.
Because we simply want to help you spend smarter and save better. Log on to FeedThePig.org. Find the benefits of saving for every stage of life. Brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I'll have it looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this.
So why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. A family drove their elderly neighbor to the doctor. Someone took 2 hours of their morning to help someone else find affordable childcare near work. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Steven and taught him better note-taking skills and study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Steven a pretty good idea. All this happened today. It'll happen tomorrow. It's happening here, there, right down the street. People are living united. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, even their health. So do something, any little something, as long as it's something. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's me, your piggy bank. Remember when you were a little kid? All the dimes and quarters in my back. Yeah, that was good times. Good times. Now, lately, I gotta be honest, you've been ignoring me. Money's been slipping through your hands like a greased pig. Get it? Because I'm a... Anyway, I know how it is. Now that you get a real paycheck, it's nice to have stuff. You'll start saving money next year. Well, I hate to tell you, but good saving habits start now. Put just 20 bucks in the bank a month. Make your own coffee at home instead of that latte every morning. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Those changes alone could save you thousands of dollars a year. Come on, I'm your piggy bank. We can be together again, me and you, the special times. Anyway, if you don't want me to cry anymore, feed me. Go to feedthepig.org for more ideas on how to save. Feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Radio that improves your chances for survival in a dangerous world. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Make Facebook your source for essential national security analysis. Search for Frank Gaffney and add him to your friends list.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. We are joined by one of my all-time favorite guests, Claudia Rosette, our gal with her hand on the pulse, I wish it were on the throat, but on the pulse of the United Nations, coming to us with a very important piece that she's written for, I believe this was Forbes.com, your column there, Claudia, about the truth about these so-called UN sanctions against Iran. And it's a fascinating insight into not just the contemporary drama playing out, but where these guys have been for years. And give us a sense of what kind of idea it is to be investing so much in the United Nations as a means of protecting us against the Iranian threat.
Yeah, for sanctions on Iran, the UN, per se, is just a farce. You know, unless the United States does virtually all the heavy lifting and pursuing and so on. Just don't count on anything happening here. The reason is that the United Nations actually has no real enforcement mechanisms. It all sounds very grand, UN sanctions, and there was the great fuss when they were passed in June. But the truth is the UN leaves member states to police themselves. For instance, Syria is supposed to take care of how Syria complies and reports back in.
Oh, great.
right, exactly. And if you look at how this has worked out in the past, especially in the case of an oil-rich Middle Eastern tyranny, which, you know, in other words, a country that has no scruples about avoiding what anything that the international community, such as it is, says, or it has lots of resources to buy its way around things. Well, the last time that this was tried, that was in Iraq under Saddam Hussein. And the UN put on these, what were supposed to be these incredibly strict controls. And, of course, what we got was oil for food, you know.
And that really worked out well.
Yeah, if you look at some of the, in that case, there were incredible violations, and nothing really got done until after Saddam Hussein was overthrown, and all these documents were discovered in Baghdad, you know, which, of course, in whatever documents are in Iran, we haven't had a chance to see.
Yes,
but
alas.
Finally, the UN was forced into this investigation costing more than $35 million under Paul Volcker. Now, what happened with that? Well, that guy who ran the program, who was indicted in the Southern District of Manhattan, has never faced justice. He's on the lam in Cyprus to this day, saying he's innocent. But the UN paid his pension, appears to have paid his moving expenses back there. The last time I saw him, Benan Sevan, he was smoking a cigar in a Cyprus penthouse.
Yeah. And hey, you actually went and paid a call on him to find out what he was up to, as I recall.
Yeah, knocked on his door. Yeah. Exactly. He was facing no problems there at all from this, both the UN and the U.S. prosecutors' allegations that he had taken money on oil deals.
Well, let's jump then, Claudia Rosette, to where we are today. If the United Nations is not going to actually do anything material for all the reasons that you documented in your fabulous investigative reporting on oil for food and in the subsequent reporting you've been doing for Forbes.com and Pajamas Media and so on what you know, the current role of the Organization of the Islamic Conferences at the United Nations and so on, this presumably raises enormously the stakes on effective U.S. unilateral sanctions. And where are we in that process? As I gather, the Congress has now adopted important new sanctions, but has the president bought in yet?
Yeah, the Congress adopted a new round of sanctions by massive margins. And I see, Frank, looking at the news right now, that President Obama is scheduled to sign this bill this evening at 10:15 p.m.
Huh.
I'm not quite sure why the timing, why it's an evening affair. But
presumably that's a little after news time, would you say?
Yeah, actually it looks like it's going to, in fact, that's right, on a long weekend before July 4th.
Yeah.
That'll be late Thursday night, just in time for the Friday exodus.
A four-day weekend, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Claudia Rosette, is it your takeaway that the administration, which has not been all that keen on these sanctions to this point, which has accounted for them not having gotten through the Congress a lot faster, is still basically resisting and therefore likely to exercise its latitude to waive these sanctions and provide thereby that much more breathing room for the regime in Iran?
That's the risk, Frank. And if the administration is going to try sanctions as the way of stopping the Iranian nuclear bomb program, and that's really that's what they're aimed at. They're not aimed at improving human rights per se in Iran. They're aimed at specifically at proliferation. Then the administration really has to go all out because, as we just talked about, UN sanctions are in themselves are a farce.
Yeah.
They depend on individual countries complying or not. So it really, in this case, all depends on the U.S. And unless the Obama administration really goes all in on this and pursues in every way that Congress has just given it license to do, we're going to have a crisis of really unimaginable proportions out there ahead. So a lot depends on whether they really are serious about this.
Well, there's not much evidence that they are to date, that's for sure, and we know we'll be able to track this continuing saga with you, Claudia Rosette, in the days ahead. But before we let you go, let me just segue to a very provocative piece that you put out in Pajamas Media on the 26th of June under the heading, "Let Turkey Pay for UNRWA." Tell us what UNRWA is, first of all, and why this would be the appropriate sauce for the goose, as they say.
Sure. UNRWA is the UN's Palestinian Refugee Agency, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinians in the Middle East, Near East. And this is the UN, which has one refugee agency for the UNHCR, for the rest of the world, has a special one for the Palestinians, which has devoted itself to preserving this basically enormous welfare state of so-called refugees unto the nth generation. Yeah. Okay.
What we're endlessly told are conditions of squalor and penury.
Right. And I'm not a fan of UNRWA. I think it does, among other things, it's greatly damaging to the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. But this has been going on for more than 50 years for what was supposed to be a temporary agency.
Right.
The U.S. is the single biggest contributor to this, to UNRWA. Now, when Turkey began making all of that noise in late May about how the Palestinians in Gaza are in need of aid, you know, the descriptions of the squalor, the desperate, so on, and sent that terror flotilla to try and break the Israeli blockade on weapons
right.
for terrorists on Gaza, I thought, well, if Turkey is so concerned about aid, and Turkey immediately took its grievances to the UN when the Israelis blocked that flotilla, and Turkey is so interested in using the UN, what is Turkey actually giving to the UN program for relief in Gaza? Well, I took a look. What does Turkey give to UNRWA? Okay, the single biggest contributor to UNRWA by far is the United States. We can question whether that's a good idea. But Turkey, which is one of the G20, the group of 20 world's largest economies.
Just meeting in Canada.
Yeah, exactly. It ranks number 26 on the donor list, which is really way down there because the amounts drop off fast.
Yeah.
In other words,
Claudia, we're going to have to leave it at that. It's a travesty, I guess, is the short word for it. We'll come back to you shortly to talk about this at greater length. And thank you so much for joining us and for all the great work you do. We're going to turn next to Gordon Chang, speaking of the G20, to get his take on China and the U.S. knocking it out.
First line of defense in the war of ideas. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Miss a show? Find podcasts of Frank and the world's leading national security experts and policymakers at securefreedomradio.org. Ever vigilant. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Gold, 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 everywhere you turn, radio, TV, all the headlines. For over a decade, I've done my best to explain why gold is the best asset for you to own. Prices may double or triple again. Gold rises every time public confidence in government and the paper dollar falls. Well, here we are. Unless the government stops burying us in debt, gold prices could continue to rise higher and higher. So do yourself a favor. I use Swiss America, and I suggest you call them, too. You need professional advice. You need to trust the folks you buy your gold from, and you can trust Swiss America. I do.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Ask for my rare opportunity DVD, Gold IRA Kit, all free.
Call now, 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513. That's 888-393-7513.
Swiss America knows gold.
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Hands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
As a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, joining IAVA.org really helps in the transition home. It's a network of OIF and OEF vets like me who've got your back here, just like we did over there. That means when you need help navigating the GI Bill, we've got your back. And when you're dealing with the transition home, we've got your back. Or when you just want someone to share stories with, we've got your back. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org. We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
Fire took place 3 years ago. There was a lightning strike. The winds picked up and the fire just took off. You're in shock. You don't know what you're feeling. You have nothing. I lost my home and 40 years worth of art. I never thought that I would need help from the Red Cross. They gave me emotional support to get up in the morning. I'll never forget what the Red Cross did for me.
Contact your local Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org.
Joel Klein catches a 7 o'clock train after his evening CPR class at the American Red Cross.
Ron Garrity's on the same train. He's had a rough day and doesn't feel like himself. Until he feels the sudden tightness in his chest, Ron never thought he'd actually have a heart attack.
Until Joel is administering CPR, he never thought he'd actually save a life.
When you train with the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your...
Hey, Charlie, what gives?
Hey, did you see that play last night?
Oh, unbelievable. What do they feed that guy?
Yeah, but they still lost.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when I was playing, what we tried to
you,
do with
it... You played on Biltmore Street.
Hey, come on. I play in the service.
Oh, right.
Anyhow, what I'm trying to say is the kid,
he should have fallen down. Hey, you okay? Stop joking around. Oh, no. Someone call 911!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke, and many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk. But it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Now more with Frank Gaffney.
And now one of the absolutely quintessentially important parts of this program, Gordon Chang's segment, as we talk about Asia, what's going on there, what it means for the United States and for you. And Gordon, unfortunately, it seems as though, as ever, there's a lot going on that has considerable implications for us. Thank you for joining us, as always, to explore these things and to bring your special insight, which you also share with the Forbes magazine audience through your column there and through your own website, GordonChang.com. Great to have you, as always.
Thank you.
Let's start with this declaration from Communist China, which I must say isn't entirely a surprise, but it does seem to me to be ratcheting up still further the notion that the United States has no business in waters they consider to be theirs. As they put it, the Yellow Sea, quote, Yellow Sea is no place for a U.S. carrier. What's the backstory to this, and what would it mean if we accede to those statements, or for that matter, what would it mean if we don't?
After the North Koreans sank the South Korean frigate on March 26,
the United States and South Korea announced that they would hold joint military exercises in international waters in the Yellow Sea. And at the time, the Pentagon put out the news that the George Washington, a Nimitz-class carrier, would be participating in those exercises. Well, those exercises have been delayed and delayed and delayed. The Pentagon says that they are going to be held, but China, in the interim, about a week ago, said that it was going to hold its own exercises in the Yellow Sea, just south of where our exercises are planned. They said, keep the carriers and keep American ships out of the Yellow Sea, and it appears that they very well may test an anti-ballistic missile there, which is going to be used against carriers.
Yeah, and, so, you mean an anti-ship ballistic missile?
Anti-ship, sorry.
Yeah, that's an imminent new threat.
And essentially what the Chinese have been trying to do over many years is to keep the U.S. Navy away from the Yellow and South China Seas because they consider those to be their own. They don't want the U.S. anywhere near those. And the U.S. Navy, if it has any purpose apart from defending the United States, is to guarantee international waters for everybody because this is an issue of commerce, not only for us, not only for our allies, but for everybody.
Yeah. Gordon Chang, let me just read you from this June 9 editorial in the Communist Party's newspaper Global Times, just a segment here. It says that disguised as a move aimed at maintaining regional stability, the deployment of a carrier off of China's coast is a provocation that will generate hostility among the Chinese public toward the United States. It calls it, these carriers, a symbol of America's past hegemony, and goes on to say, quote, who would not be bothered by an opponent hanging around at the door with a gun all day long? Unquote. Not the kind of thing that one would necessarily expect from one of our great partners in diplomacy and international affairs, is it?
No, it certainly is not. But the problem is that there are a number of naval officers who really are starting to think of the Chinese and starting to believe their own the Chinese propaganda, thinking the United States should not do all of these freedom of navigation exercises in Asia because they don't want to antagonize China. They can't conceive of warfare against China, even though China is making all of these very hostile and aggressive statements about the United States. So we've got a problem in our own Navy, and this is something that the Chinese are trying to exploit with propaganda of the type that you just talked about. So this is critically important to us.
Yeah. Well, I think it probably isn't unique to the Navy. I suspect that their civilian leadership is equally keen on avoiding any kind of confrontation with China. But I think you're absolutely right, Gordon Chang, that the Navy, which, by the way, and this is a subject we'll be touching on in coming programs, is now desperately short of not only ships, but even men and the money to manage, maintain, and operate them, is not looking for any trouble. And these kinds of assertions of American right of passage and so on have become increasingly, I think, problematic for a military in this kind of condition. And as you said so well, Gordon Chang, the implications of failing to assert those rights of passage as the new hegemon is asserting itself ever more in the region, namely China, is deeply problematic. But let's turn, if we can, Gordon, to something that just is happening, I guess, as we speak. A new assertion, if you will, of China's increasing stature as a global power in the war of ideas space specifically. Tell us what they're up to.
Well, last year, China announced a global media push. It was trying to internationalize Xinhua News Agency, its official news agency, China Central Television, People's Daily, the Communist Party's chief mouthpiece. And today, they have launched their 24-hour English language CNN. They started in Hong Kong. They have ambitions to put it everywhere around the world. Right now, we have China Central Television 9, which is their English language programming, coming into the United States through cable. we don't stop it, yet China does not permit Fox, it does not permit CNN, it does not permit ABC to broadcast in China. And so what we have is we're allowing them to spread their ideas inside the United States and around the world, and we're not trying to promote our ideas in China. We're not even trying to raise this issue with the Chinese. This has really been a disgrace.
It seems really quite symbolic of the larger way we have competed with the Chinese in so many other areas as well. But as you say, Gordon Chang, this is particularly problematic since the war of ideas aspect is arguably as important as any of the trade competitions and the like, maybe of the military competitions, because it's about, as you have documented so well in your various books on the coming collapse of China and so on, that you know, getting inside their heads is a critical piece of our maintaining, I think our security interests in the region as well. Let me ask you this, Gordon. We have something called Radio Free Asia, which I believe has been operating for some time with the purpose of trying to get some information into China. Is that a player at all? Is it being jammed? Is it? It obviously doesn't have the same kind of access to the mainland that would for example, Fox or some American station were it to be carried by the Communist Chinese. But is that at least in play?
Well, we do have Radio Free Asia. It does serve very important purposes. We have Voice of America as well in Asia. However, they're not very well funded, and clearly we don't have the same determination that the Chinese have. Got to remember that Chinese propaganda is really dedicated to not only saying how good China is, but also how bad the democracies are. Mm-hmm. And they really attempt to delegitimize the United States and its role in the world. So it's good that we have Radio Free Asia. It's great that we have Voice of America. But we really need to put a lot more resources behind them, because this is essentially the same thing that we had with regard to the Soviets. And we are allowing the Chinese to play, and we're not playing ourselves. So we really need to change course here.
Yeah. Gordon, we've only got about a minute left, but does the problem in part that we've seen in American official broadcasts to Iran happen in China too, namely that does RF Asia actually pull its punches in talking to the Chinese people?
We pull a few punches. We try to soften it. We try to basically engage the Chinese, not upset them too much. Radio Free Asia does some very good work because they do help some groups that are really trying to better the lives of Chinese people. And that's why it has
not enough, and it certainly isn't going to compete with what they're going to do propagandizing ours. Gordon Chang, we're going to have to let it go at that. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, each week it's so valuable. That's it for this installment. I hope you found it useful. I also hope you'll join us again tomorrow, same time, same station. This is Frank Gaffney.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, brought to you by SwissAmerica.com.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.